the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Well, that accounts for all of us. That's right. Welcome back. Another hour of the best money show anywhere. That's right. This is Bucket Strategy Investing. We got the Brain Trust here in studio. We're standing by to give you more of the what I believe is the best in money information. I'm Johnny Dean. Got Professor Rick Plum here with me from Lucia Capital Group. We're going to be taking more of your phone calls, answering your emails, answering your money questions right here on the fly. No notes, no nothing. Whatever you got, we've got the answer. Some lines are open right now. Take advantage. Get to your favorite phone, whatever. Give us a call, 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. And those emails I mentioned, you send those to us through wealthed.com, our website. Go to the link that says find your answer. We'll answer it here on the program. We are here to help you out with any money situation that you might have. And I think we do a very good job of it. Since everyone has money questions, this includes all y'all. So you want to give us a call. Professor Rick Plum is the key part of this whole operation here on the TV and radio, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. We talk about a strategy on this program all the time, as we did last hour, and we're going to talk to you more about it this hour. I'm here to tell you that you need a bucket strategy, all right? You need one that's personalized to you, one that aims to meet all of your specific goals and needs. So what do? Well, you call the advisors at Lucia Capital Group. You get your plan started. Off the air, their number, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Everyone has a different situation in life, right? No two plans are alike. No two people are alike. No two situations are alike, ever. Find out if you're on the right path to retirement. Again, the number at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. Our number in studio, 877-PLANNER. PLANNER, 877-752-6637. We do have a lot of emails to get to, so we will get to those shortly. And we'll also get to this, I guess I have to talk about it. I won't now, but coming up, this whole Powerball thing, which happens tonight.
Can you imagine how it's going to go if nobody wins it tonight?
I don't even want to think about it. It becomes too much.
It already is too much.
What do they do? What are they going to do when this, when or if, and it could be either one, the odds of hitting the numbers is so great that this thing reaches, you know, 3 billion. I mean, at some point, do you just let it keep going?
Well, yeah, it's designed to do that. I mean, they're not using all the money they're raising from the ticket sales to pay out the payment.
No, but eventually it's going to get that big. Can you imagine? You walk into a 7-Eleven or some, you know, one day, you're working, you're making 30, 40 grand, you know, a year.
Even 100, 200 grand a year.
Well, even that, but I'm going to go on the lower side and you buy a ticket and the next day you're on the list of the Forbes 500. I mean, I think that's what would put you in there. If you actually had $2 billion or $3 billion, I think you might wind up there.
it would be daunting. And unfortunately, yeah. That's why the statistics for lottery winners, large lottery winners, lump sum especially, are so dismal. 70% or more of them are out of money and in worse financial shape after 5, 6, 8 years than they were before they won the lottery.
Yeah, and there's an argument made that people who play the lottery are not necessarily, I mean, I don't mean just for fun. People do it now just for fun. But those who do this on a regular basis and put a lot of money into it are not necessarily financially savvy. And I'm not going to lump everybody into that category, but that is true of some of them. All right, so we'll talk about that later on. I don't want to get into that too much right now. 877-PLANNER is our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. I did want to mention this, and I said this to our TV audience, and I'll say it again. One of the questions that comes up lately and has really been popular since this whole stock market debacle we had way back now 8 years ago almost, which has to do with this question. How much of my portfolio should be in stocks when I retire? People are afraid. Well, then as the stock market started gaining, we're up, what, well over, what are we? Is it 200%? What are we up from the lows? I can't remember.
From the lows of March of 2009?
Yes.
Well, we're up about 300%.
Okay, so it's about...
From the low.
Yeah, the low was, where was it, around
6,500-ish?
So that would be 13 plus 6, not quite. So about 200.
We're up a lot. Between 200 and 300%.
Yes, we're up quite a bit. And so people start to think, okay, well, you know, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe stocks are an okay thing for me.
Well, and then look back over the last 3 months where we're down 10%.
Right. Well, and you have that problem too. So somebody who's retired, Professor Plum, is thinking, well, wait a minute now. I don't know which side to be on. This could drop tomorrow. So the question of how much should my portfolio be in stocks when I retire is a big one. And I had said this, that if you hit this in Google or whatever search engine you use, how much should I have in stocks when I retire? One of the first top five entries is going to have the standard pat answer that's been around for a long time, which says, just take the 100 minus your age. Take 100 minus your age, and that'll tell you how much you should have in stocks. So if you're 65 years old, it'll be 35% in stocks. If you're 45 years old, it'll be 55% in stocks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We don't like generic advice, Professor Plum. You Googled.
I did in the top three or four that I came up with.
We're actually making fun of.
Oh, good. Okay. So there's some legitimacy to some of these.
Yeah, I don't know if it's legitimate, but they were making fun of the use taking 100 less your age to determine how much you should have in stocks, because it is a joke. It doesn't work. That presumes that everybody of a specific age has the exact same goals as a percentage of their portfolio. It doesn't make any sense. And that you have the same risk tolerance as everybody else in your age category, your age year. It just doesn't make sense. And so unfortunately, there is no easy, simple, do this all the time and it'll be that all the time.
Well, okay, let's look at this, Professor Plum. Somebody who's approaching retirement, they're a little nervous because they think that, you know, something could happen. They don't want the market to crater right when they, and we'll get to your calls in just a second.
Well, that's where the sequence of return issue comes in. If you're too heavily invested in stocks and you happen to have retired in July of last year, you had a down market and you're pulling money out of a down market and you're going to have troubles. But if you retired in March of 2009, you did fine.
Yeah. So we'll cover some of this stuff. We'll get into these questions a little bit later on. I want to take a couple of calls because we just got a few in. 877 Planner, PLANNER. Let's move along. Don in Rensselaer, Indiana is up next. Hello, Don.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How you doing today?
Great. How about yourself?
Very well. What's up?
Good. Great program as always.
Thank you.
And I had a question. I am getting ready to retire from the state of Indiana in about 5 years, and I'm considering annuitizing my we have like a pension. Besides my pension, we have like a 401k. Mm-hmm. And I did my projections, and it's projected out if I annuitize, I'm going to get about a 6.2 rate of return. Is that, I mean, well, I'm leaning towards that. Is that a pretty good rate of return?
Well, first off, let's change your wording. That is not a 6.2% rate of return.
Okay.
It's a 6.2% payout. What I think you're telling me is if I had $100,000 in there, they would give me $6,200 a year for the rest of my life.
Yes.
And that is, and how old are you?
I am 56 at the present.
Okay. Well, then it's leaning more towards a reasonable number, but I probably would not necessarily go that way,
okay.
Only because you're locking in today's low rates for the rest of your life. You're only 57. You could very easily have a 30, 40-year life expectancy. And over that 30, 40-year life expectancy, a 6.2% actual rate of return on CDs and other things could actually occur again. Obviously,
okay.
It's not available today. So
right.
I don't want to lock in that rate of return. Because basically, if you live to a normal life expectancy, your rate of return is probably 3-ish, 3.5%.
Okay.
Now, it's nice to have the guarantee, and I'm not saying don't get some guaranteed income, but you already have your pension. Do you also have Social Security?
Yes.
And so you've got your pension and Social Security. What are those going to total up to, if you don't mind me asking?
My pension is about $1,600 a month. My Social Security will be approximately, if I take it at 62, will be about $1,300, and my wife's will be about $1,100 a month.
Okay, so you've got you got $4,000 a month from guaranteed income sources, even if you turn them on as early as 62.
Right.
How much does it take when you wake up in the morning? Forget the fun, you know, traveling around the world stuff. But what does it take to live going forward when you're retired?
I'm guessing our house will be paid off, so that'll take care of about $700 a month. And we have a home equity line, which will be paid off, and that's about $500. So minus the 1,200. I'm guessing probably that 40,000 will come pretty close to doing what we need to do.
So you need 40,000 a year, but you've got 48,000 guaranteed income, 4,000 a month.
Right.
You don't need more guaranteed income. You don't need to lock in at a low interest rate another guaranteed income source, because you've got plenty of guaranteed income sources to meet your day-to-day living expenses. So the portfolio should be invested in a more fluid, more liquid, more available situation to meet the unknown expenses that, you know, maybe it's a trip here, maybe it's some help from some family over there, unknown issues, and hopefully earn a little bit better rate of return than what you're getting on that annuitized contract.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Don, I got to take a break, so hold on. We can continue this on the other side and get into a little bit more detail if you like, but some good advice coming your way. So hang on, Don, if you have some more questions or you need some more clarification on this. It's a good thing to talk about anyway. All right, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. I mentioned that we're going to take a break, so hold on just a couple of minutes. If you're on hold, we will get to everybody, 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. We got some room on the phones right now, so a couple people hung up during the break. So if you were trying to get through before or you have a question that cannot wait, call us now because we'll get to your question fairly quickly. We'll also get to some more of your emails. That'll be coming up in just a bit as well. All right, now we're going to go back to Don in Rensselaer, Indiana. Don, you still with us?
Yes.
Okay, so Professor Plum was doing some calculations here just as we went into the break. And go ahead, Professor Plum.
And this is where numbers can be misleading. We were talking about a 6.2% payout, and it sounded relatively nice. Now, do you know if that was a life-only payout, or does that continue for your wife's life as well if you died too soon?
Actually, that is giving her my full benefit.
100% when, joint and survivor. Good.
Yes. Okay. And actually, the rate of return, if I chose not to do that, would be closer to like 7.5%, because there is a discount for that.
Yeah. Oh, so it would be if you did a life only, because the odds of you dying are higher by yourself are larger than both of you dying. And that's why.
Right.
And so, but the reality is, let's look at those numbers. If you had $100,000 and starting at age 62, 5 years from now when you retired, it gave you $6,200 a year. If you lived to a normal life expectancy of 82, 83, your rate of return is about 2.25%.
Okay.
Now, if you live to be 97, your rate of return is about 5.25%, if one of you live that long until you're the equivalent of your age, 97.
Right.
Do you really believe that holding on to this money for 40 years to try and earn and making it at least to 97 is worth getting a 5% rate of return over 40 years?
I never looked at it that way, but I don't know what you know, so.
Well, and the other thing is, the reason I went through your income needs are, you don't need more guaranteed income. You need more flexible income. And so if you had said, I'm getting $4,000 a month, but I really need $5,000 a month to live, then annuitizing up to $1,000 a month, if we had that much money to be able to do it, could make some sense, because you become a much more calm, rational investor for the rest of your money if you know you've got enough money coming in from guaranteed sources that you can't screw up.
Right.
And so that when the market's crashing, but you know that every month you're going to have a check so you can cover your insurance, your home, everything that goes on and the basics, you tend to be a little bit more rational and not freak out when the market's doing what it's doing today, down a couple percent. And
right.
So, but you don't necessarily need that, because by the time you retire, if we really did need a little bit more money also, we could play some games with your Social Security as well. Maybe wait a little while, make it go up a little bit bigger, and do some other things if we have longevity. So those would be the first things I would do. Now, what I would do instead of an annuity is more of a bucket style investment that gives me a lot of flexibility and the chance to earn a better rate of return over time than just a 3-5% potential rate of return on this money. Because money that I don't need to touch until I'm 97 years old, I really do believe that you can earn better than 5% on that money.
Right.
I probably close to double. I don't know the real number. Only the future will tell us that. But I'd rather earn more and have a better legacy at the same time, potential legacy for my heirs, than lock into something that I know is going to quit when my wife and I quit.
Right. Actually, I'll have close to 200,000, I think.
Okay.
And so then I would just go ahead and roll that into like an IRA, correct, when I got
correct.
To that point?
And then set up an appropriate income strategy for what you may or may not need. And the reality is most people that retire at 62, 63, 64 spend more money in their 60s than they do when they're 70, 80, and 90 years old. So you would end up probably spending more than $6,000 a year or $12,000 a year when you're 65 and spending a whole lot less than that when you're 85.
Right. So then I would just bucketize that money into an IRA and use a bucket strategy for that then.
Yes. And if you don't need the money, you just leave it in the buckets. If you need a little bit more, you take it a little more.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm glad I called because my wife is, she's more conservative than I am, and she just liked the idea of having the guaranteed income and knowing what we were going to have. So I'm glad I give you guys a call.
Well, and this way, though, you can show her that you're going to have enough guaranteed income to meet all the needs and show her an appropriate investment strategy that gives her the income more so on a flexible scale so she has more control over things and potentially has a better rate of return over a long time if we ever actually see interest rates go up.
Right. And like you said, even if we would need to get in or need a little bit more money, we could go ahead and get into that money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
Yeah. All right, very good. Well, thanks for all your help. Thanks, Professor Plum.
Hey, no problem, Don.
I appreciate the advice.
Well, thank you for the call, Don. We appreciate the questions. I like getting questions like this.
I like being able to design the appropriate strategy for an individual. And like I said, it changes depending upon what he had said he needed from his portfolio. If he needed more guaranteed income, then we look to actually add an annuitized source of income like his pension or a pension or annuitizing his 401k mm-hmm. would have provided. But if you don't need it, why lock into it? And there's just do what's appropriate for what you're trying to achieve. Now, unfortunately for some people, their feelings override what's appropriate from a investment standpoint. And mm-hmm. the reality is your feelings will win out because whatever makes you feel the best is probably what you're going to end up doing.
Which may or may not be a bad thing. We talk about the emotional side of investing and planning and how a plan, having a financial plan in place can help take some of the emotion out of that because as emotional beings, we act irrationally and sometimes we're our own worst enemy. But on the other
sometimes.
Hand, well, yeah, no, but sometimes not. You've run the numbers for people. Let's just take a sort of mundane example, if you want to call it that. Paying off your mortgage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are times you could run the numbers for somebody and say, look, you know, you could do better. You have a 3% mortgage or whatever it is.
Right.
You could probably do better over the next 15 years than that. But it makes somebody feel better, then the right financial move was to pay it off.
Right, because it allowed them to sleep better at night. And if it comes down to the point where Don's wife says, you know what, I want that annuitized income. I don't want to think about the market. I don't want to think about anything. I just want to... It'll help me sleep at night. Well, then guess what the right answer is? The one that lets her sleep at night. And that's just the way it is.
Yes. And I look at it the same way. We've talked about some of these annuity products, which in higher interest rate times might be more attractive for what you would prefer to do for many people. But on the other hand, you have somebody who says, look, I don't really care about my rate of return. I care about, and I know I won't get a raise, and I know that what I care about is I know how much is coming in every single month, and I can work around that.
And as long as it's guaranteed by a very high-quality insurance company, guaranteed by the government, guaranteed by,
yes.
You trust the source of the guarantee because the guarantee is different in different investments, then it lets you just not think about it. And there's a lot of people that just don't want to think about the money. They just want to know that their check is coming in. That's all that matters to them. So how you go about developing your portfolio, we're going to speak on the financial side of it. And then we have to listen to you and talk to you about layering in the emotional side of it because the emotional side will win out.
It will many times. Now, here's the other side of it, too. And we get this is a whole behavior investor thing. I don't have time to get into because we got to take a break. But something to think about. The emotional side can win out, too, when you say, the market is down, it's in the tank, my portfolio is down, I want to sell out of everything and wait for, you know, the bottom to come. Well, then, when the emotional side wins out, you could be hurting yourself.
I was talking to somebody yesterday about that. They're saying the Royal Bank of Scotland, which is doing so well on their own, is telling everybody to get out of the market. The question, I'll say, you get out. When do you get back in?
Exactly.
By the time you get back in, it's probably already recovered 20%.
So if the emotional side wins out, it can be a bad thing, it can be a good thing. You have to know the difference. And if you don't, you talk to us. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Taking your calls when we come back. Welcome back to the program. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. We're here for you every day. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, taking your calls, 877-PLANNER. And don't forget, I'm going to keep reminding you of this because, you know, we're only, what, probably 5 weeks away or so from the next workshop, the first workshop of the spring series, the Lucia Capital Group Retirement Income Strategies Workshop. But you need to know when it is, and you can sign up right now. We'll remind you along the way. The first one, Saturday, February 20th. Keep it in the back of your mind, or better yet, go to WealthEd.com and sign up right now. There's plenty of room for you right now. WealthEd.com, Las Vegas, Saturday, February 20th. Seattle, Washington happens the week after that on the 27th. And then Phoenix, Arizona, a couple of weeks later, Saturday, March 12th. So some locations where you can meet the Brain Trust, Professor Plum, Terry Keyes, the local advisors. They'll all be there on hand talking to you about your money, about your retirement strategy, about your bucket strategy. Retirement income, very important. Without it, I don't know how you can retire, right? So challenges. There are challenges, and we talk about them on the show. They'll talk to you about them in person. Meet the Brain Trust. Get your money questions answered and learn about buckets as well. WealthEd.com. It's all free, of course. I should mention that. Okay, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. I guess I should mention this because I said it in the top of the hour. The Powerball. It doesn't do anything for me.
That's because you don't play.
I suppose. And I know there are other people like me that it doesn't really, you know. It's
just interesting to think about that much money.
I will say this, and I understand. I guess I can understand. You know you're not going to win. But we had a few people that are connected to the show, production staff, and you might have been involved, but I don't know if you were.
No, they didn't ask me. My money's not good enough for them.
You weren't in the room. Well, so they got together and purchased like, I don't know, 6 or 7 tickets with some leftover cash. And
they
so
they checked between the seat cushions and
yes,
the car and everything.
And that was last week. And so Saturday I said, "Oh, they did the drawing. Oh, wait a minute. I'm in with these other 8 or 9 people. I can stand." So I actually went and I looked. Even though I knew there's no chance I had to win, but it was sort of an anticipation as I said, "Okay, give me the numbers. Let's go. Let's see what this is."
Little excitement in your life, John.
Yeah, I laughed.
Well, how about there was a group of people at a restaurant that looked up the numbers on the website, and they had every single number. Their ticket had the winning numbers on it, and they started celebrating. One of the cooks quit on the spot, and then they realized they were looking at the previous drawings numbers. They had all the
right.
Their ticket for the Saturday.
Yeah.
had the winning numbers from Wednesday, but they didn't realize they were looking
at the
Wednesday numbers, and they had to get their jobs back. Oops.
Wow.
They were really excited for about 20 minutes.
Who would have done that? That's interesting. Well, anyway, so I mentioned that the jackpot started at $40 million on November 4th. Yeah, it's been growing since then, obviously. They're expecting 1.5, maybe more, billion.
Billion, with a B.
Yes, billion does have a B. Now, you take the cash, yeah, $900 million, and you
pay $400 some million in taxes,
and your leftover is $500. Now, my question was this during the TV segment, and I'll ask everybody else too. What happens if nobody wins over the next couple of months?
Well, at some point, it doesn't go that long. I can't remember the longest time horizon that went. But at some point, the randomness does catch up to you, and there's enough tickets being bought.
Well, that requires more tickets to be bought.
Oh, yes.
You see? That requires more tickets to be
bought.
Right,
the ones that you bought for tonight are worthless after tonight.
But I would think there's
your numbers don't roll over.
No matter how big
the
prize is, there's a finite number of people that are willing to put money into it.
Right, but it's not the number of people that are willing to put money into it when it's $500 million. Is a smaller number than the number of people that are willing to put in it when it's a billion five. So when it gets to $3 billion, if it ever got that large, more and more people would be enticed to put in numbers.
Well, that's how the theory goes. I would think.
Well, that's how it has worked all so far.
Oh, it has. No question. But because the odds decreased, because your chances of winning decreased when they changed the numbers,
Well, they added, yeah, they're up to 60.
They added 10 new numbers.
Yeah,
or
so
something
it's not
like
just
that.
Picking five out of 50, it's picking five
right,
out of 60.
And that's why you have such a big prize. I will say this too, if you missed it earlier. I think it was the New York Times that said the odds of, think about the odds of winning. If you took the names of every single person in the country, every
man,
person
woman,
in
child.
The country, right, your odds of winning the, and your odds of winning the lottery are only a little bit better than you reaching into that giant hopper of names and pulling out the name of the President
person,
Obama,
yeah.
or yourself, or whatever it is. I mean, that's how lucky you have to be. That's how random it has to be. And everybody's odds are exactly the same.
Now, at that point, is it considered luck? I mean, because luck, I mean, that's just random. And I guess you'd be lucky if you...
Well, yeah, it is. It's just it, luck, meaning it's just...
I'm not sure it's actually luck. Because I mentioned earlier, that is for somebody who is not used to that kind of money, who did not grow up, did not build it, did not create it themselves, that is going to be a giant headache to inherit that much money, my opinion. All of a sudden, you go from being a normal individual, maybe you've got 50, 80, 100,000 in your 401k, to having $500 million after taxes. And now you have to start making decisions on how you use that, how you invest that, whether you just stick it in a tin can and bury it in the backyard and pull out a couple bucks every time you want to go down to the store and buy a six pack. I mean, how do you, that's a full-time job.
It's a full-time job, and it's going to require people, you know, guards
and education and that you don't have in most cases.
No, and here's the other thing that it creates too. And we should tell people about this because, you know, somebody who wins that said, "Well, I'm going to give $1 million to this person, or $1 million to that person, give $500,000 to this person." You realize that gift taxes are going to be triggered very
quickly. Right.
I mean, 5.5 million. Is it 5.5 now?
5.45.
5.45 million seems like a lot of money to give away in your lifetime. You could give that away in a weekend if you really wanted to with that kind of cash.
You could give that away every year for 100 years
right.
and not
but
run out of cash.
What's going to happen is if you start giving that away...
Well, every gift becomes more expensive. So I give my kids, I blow through the gift limit I can do, and now I get into giving taxable gifts where I've given away $10 million, whatever the number is, and I want to give John Dean $1 million. That $1 million gift is going to cost me $1,400,000. The million I give to John and $400,000 to the IRS because it's a 40% tax, and they're going to tax me, not him. So that's the way it works. But fine, that's actually cheaper than if I die with the money, because if I die with $10 million,
yes.
If I die with $10 million, the tax is $4 million, so the heirs get six.
Yep.
But to give six away, the tax is only 2.4. I only had to have 8.4 for the recipient to get $6 million.
Right.
So it's cheaper to give it in during my life than it is at death.
Unless you could figure out a way to, let's see, you got $14,000 per person. Nah, it still doesn't work.
That's a lot of people
it
to give away.
Work. That's a lot of people.
Million.
And believe me, you're going to have people lining up to that's what you could do. If you just want to say, you know what, I'm going to give $14,000 to everybody.
Well,
that's
what you think, okay, let's say I've got my family, my nieces, my nephews, there's 100 people. I'm going to just set it up on auto pay to give them $14,000 a year.
Every single year. Well, you could do it if you're married. You can actually go up to $28,000 and do it that way.
Automatically be done with it.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it.
Don't accept phone calls from them.
please. Anyway,
I can see why Howard Hughes became a recluse.
I would myself.
Yes.
I would probably day one. I would probably just,
Before anybody knew I won the lottery, I would become one.
No, that's true. That's true. And keep in mind, too, you better hold on to that ticket if you get it.
Well, the first thing you should do if you win is sign the ticket, because that ticket is a bearer instrument.
Yes, it is.
It is payable to whoever is holding on to it. So the idea is to sign it so that the person that's holding on to it can't say, well, that's my signature. You say, look, I signed it. He stole it from me.
Yes, and what you do is get a video of yourself holding the ticket, signing the ticket, and then holding it up and keep that someplace, keep it in a safe place.
A safe place is not the glove box of your car.
Nor is it, by the way, in the shirt pocket because, honey, I just did the laundry. That cost us $500 million. That was an expensive load of laundry.
Wow.
You can't really take lint to the.
This was it, really. It was.
But the other thing I think, couldn't you just go to the lottery office and say, look, I genuinely meant to play those numbers.
Right, and they'll say, "Oh, no problem. Yes, we'll pay you out."
I mean, really, you could it's a stack of Bibles. I will swear to you that these are the numbers. Ask my kids; those are the very numbers that I meant to play.
Well, it's my son's birthday, my anniversary, my daughter's birthday, and my twin cousin-in-law's birthday, because
exactly.
I ran out of people to base a birthday on.
I don't know. Anyway, so I guess the point of talking about all this, I didn't mean to spend all this time on it, but the point of talking about it is don't base your financial plan on something like this, okay? I have known people who spend, it's part of their budget.
Right. And if you do win, phone number is 800-644-1150. Give us a call. We'll help you out.
That's right. Ask for Johnny Dean.
No, don't ask for Johnny Dean.
Oh, who would you suggest they ask for, Professor Plum?
Somebody who's spent 20-plus years helping people create their goals and manage
giving
their life around their goals.
And giving out free advice on the air and doing that kind of thing?
It won't be free anymore.
No, well, certainly will not. All right, 877-PLANNER. We got some more phone calls to get to, some emails. Got to get to those. Trivia still to come. And we've only got like one more segment left in the show. So we'll do as much as we can between now and then. If you have questions, you call right now because we got a little bit of room on the phones. 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, coming back on Bucket Strategy Investing. I've heard this before. Thank you. All right. That's right. Whoever did that. Was that Adam, Andy, a collaboration of them?
So happy birthday, John Dean.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate that. 52. I'm a deck of cards today.
Now,
believe it or not, every single card, I've turned over the whole deck.
Well, you got one more. Next year, you'll be the Joker.
I've been on that my whole time, pretty much. Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for that. That's very nice of you. We'll go celebrate. I'll go celebrate later on today and this weekend. So, all right. So coming up tomorrow on this program, we got the topic of inflation is going to be coming up. Now, you might say, what inflation are we talking about? Has there been any inflation other than in things like, you know,
healthcare?
We used to say energy, but I mean, you know, oil.
Deflation there
has been nothing. So inflation. Well, believe it or not, even with only a couple of percent, 1%, whatever you want to call it, over the course of 10, 15 years, yeah, it does add up. So how do you plan for that? What do you do? Somebody could be living on a fixed income. They're going to be getting Social Security only or their pension. Maybe there's no cost of living adjustment on their pension. They have one of those annuities that just going to pay them a flat amount every month for the next, you know, for whatever it is, 30, 40 years. So planning for inflation, the effects of inflation, looking ahead to that. That'll be tomorrow on this very program. Take part, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Trivia for today. This is an interesting one. This from the Urban Institute. An average high income American couple that retired in 2010 will pay $765,000 of lifetime Social Security taxes. You'll have fun with this. But received just $693,000 of Social Security benefits. And what they're saying is that's 91 cents earned for every $1 paid in taxes. In other words, what they're saying...
I take it, Amber, that's not 91 cents earned. That's 91 cents received for every dollar in payment.
But even so, do you see that? The average American...
Yeah, the higher the income, the more you pay in benefits and the less you get back as a benefit. It is skewed towards the lower wage earner in the fact that you get a much higher percentage of your income replaced through Social Security at the low income side than you do at the high income side.
Yeah, what I'm guessing is when they say it's the average high income, I'm thinking that they're taking the person who has made
all the way
up to the wage base for 35 years.
Right, and that doesn't include any potential earnings on the taxes that you paid over the years. That number is a number I've come up with looking at the wage base over the years, paying the tax. That is taken into account both sides, though.
Both sides, meaning
employer, employee.
Yes, it does, because what they're looking at is your employer, instead of paying you as a salary, they have to pay that.
Right, 7.65%, or well, 6.2% for the Social Security side of it.
Yes.
The other side's Medicare.
I'd love to see how they actually broke that down. Now, we come back down to the other side of it, though. Mm-hmm. You take the one that really is supposed to help, by the way, which is the lower income. They're probably, and I don't know what the number is, but I would assume that for every dollar paid in taxes, they're going to get quite a bit more in Social Security payments.
You take a lower income individual where there's only one wage earner and you have one stay-at-home spouse,
uh-huh.
then they're getting back significantly more than they paid into it because they're not only just they're getting a higher percentage of their own income, but they're getting a percentage of their own income paid to their spouse as well.
Yes.
Who did not pay in. They're talking about a dual income, higher income family on the one that you did.
And they both
paid in.
Yes.
No spousal benefits, and they're just taking it, you know.
And it didn't say if they waited to 70 or, I mean, I guess they're saying it's on average.
That's probably done at the full retirement age.
Yeah, so if they took it at age 70, then you might see a little bit different story. Maybe.
Depends on how long you live and all that kind of good stuff.
Let's see. Email. We got time for one or two. Bonnie in Fort Worth, Texas. Bonnie says, I turned 64 in 2015. Should I apply now? And how much will I receive? I'm not working at present. I'm assuming she means Social Security.
We're going to assume that. And
we have to make a couple of assumptions here for Bonnie.
Well, the answer depends on how long you might live. The answer depends on whether you're currently married, whether you were married for at least 10 years prior to this. And so there are some factors to play in here. If you don't have longevity and you were never married, applying now is not the worst thing. Might as well. If you have very good longevity, now we have to look at what is your benefit projected to be and what is the spouse's benefit. Is your spouse's benefit a lot higher than yours? Can your spouse take a benefit from you and wait 4 years and make their benefit even higher, which then becomes a survivor benefit? There's a lot of things that go into play when we start looking at the choices within taking Social Security. Now, you're 64 years old right now, or you will be. Yeah, no, you turned 64. So that does still allow you to do a restricted application once you get to full retirement age from either a current spouse or a former spouse, assuming you were married for at least 10 years. So there's a lot of information that we could still use here. But if you tell me that your benefit is the higher benefit between you and your spouse or ex-spouse, or you don't have any spouse or ex-spouse, and you don't have longevity, sure, take it now.
There's your answer, Bonnie. If you have more information for us, that would be helpful. Tom, Henderson, Nevada. Love your show. I am 70 and a half, retired, and do not have W-2 income. Can I make Roth conversions to my traditional IRA onwards? Thanks in advance and have a prosperous new year. Thank you, Tom.
Well, Tom, you do not have any current wages, which means you cannot contribute to a Roth IRA. But there's nothing stopping you from converting existing traditional IRA money or 401k money to a Roth IRA, with the exception of the required minimum distribution. You're 70 and a half. You have a required minimum distribution. The amount equal to the required minimum distribution cannot be converted. That has to come out. But as long as you satisfy the RMD, anything in excess of the RMD in any given year can be converted, and in many cases does make a lot of sense to convert over to a Roth IRA. Does several things. If you can use up the current tax bracket, it's going to be taxed at anyway, use it up now, which will reduce your required minimum distribution in the future, giving yourself more room to do conversions as you go along, and maybe getting yourself all the way out of required minimum distributions down the line. But yes, you can continue to convert, even if you don't have earned income. You just can't contribute to the Roth.
Yes, the earned income is required for the contribution side, and that's not just for a Roth. That's really any IRA.
That's any retirement account. And that's where a lot of business owners mess up, in that, you know, they incorporate their business. They make $200,000 a year. They incorporate and they pay themselves a salary of $50,000, and they take a profit, an S corp dividend or something, of $150,000. But they still want to make a huge retirement because they're being taxed on the full $200,000 still in that respect. They're only paying Social Security tax on the $50,000. But they say, I want to put in a big retirement plan to save a lot of that $200,000, or reduce that $200,000 to save taxes. Nope, it's based on the $50,000.
It's based on the $50,000.
Salary.
That's
self-employment income.
Exactly.
Not profits, not interest, not dividends.
If you need the brain trust off the air, we're out of time right now, but you can certainly talk to Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group whenever you feel like it. All you got to do is give them a call at their off-air number. That is 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Talk to them about your retirement. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. It's Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented,
said the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.